How many here have never heard me speak before? Oh, look at that. Must be 80% of you. Well, if you don't like the odd chuckle, this is the time to leave. You won't get your money returned. But if you do like a chuckle, then we should have a few. I am a little bit different. I worked for the Allied Forces in the Secret Service during World War II. My grandson says, "Are you sure one or two?" He forgets. We always get them in the end. And these people are slow here. They don't get that, what a doctor says when he says they get them in the end. And then following which, I became a professional engineer in sewage treatment. They phoned me from New York and from Florida. Being a professional engineer in sewage treatment, then I became a doctor. And you know what impressed me about becoming a doctor? Was that they spent all of their time sweeping cobwebs rather than stepping on the spider. Who ever got a headache because their serum Advil started to drop? Nobody. And that's not why you get headaches. I don't know whether you are aware of the fact, but the majority, say, of migraine headaches all occur because the individual is dehydrated. And I'm going to tell you part of the talk right now. Most people in North America are dehydrated. The correct amount of water, and the boys did the research and found that it was like the curve, like a sugar loaf, up and down like so. And if you want max, all your nutrition rather is fluid borne into cells, and all the waste product is fluid borne out of cells. And you should be at the maximum efficiency. So the boys down in the States checked it, and they discovered, hey, you're at the efficiency right at the top of this nice dome-shaped curve. And it turned out that it's your weight in two divided, your weight in pounds, we'll get to it sooner or later, as soon as we get going, your weight in pounds divided by two, and that's the ounces of good non-fluoridated water you should be drinking per day. Now get this, even at that level, it takes 3 months for your body to finally be at peak efficiency and adequately hydrated. If you stop and think a minute, too, it means the thinner you are, the juicier you are. See? Because you don't need as much water. Okay. Now, I understand with this other that with the electronics, how are you coming? It's coming? It's coming. Yeah. He has to reprogram this thing so it can recognize the electronic button that tells it to move backwards and forwards. As you are aware, professional engineer and a medical doctor, as an engineer, we used to put piles in for piers. And of course, you all know what that is. But as a doctor now, piles for piers means hemorrhoids in my colleagues. So I have to be careful when I'm reading all short forms of things, and I get quite mixed up with them. Now, we're going to be talking about women's issues. And one of the things we're going to discuss is going to be PMS, menopause. We're going to do a talk on cortisol. And I'm also going to bring in a little bit about cancer, particularly of the breast, which is going to be rather, you'll find this a bit intriguing. Now, I have a very interesting thing. I'll give you a hint or give you a guess as to who wrote this, male or female? How did you know? And it's called The Rules. And it says, the female always knows the rules. The rules are subject to change at any time without prior notification. No male can possibly know all the rules. If the female suspects the male knows all the rules, she must immediately change some or all of the rules. The female is never wrong. If the female is wrong, it is due to a misunderstanding which was a direct result of something the male did or said incorrectly. The male must apologize immediately for causing said misunderstanding. The female may change her mind at any time. This is sure chauvinistic, isn't it, eh? And the male must never change his mind without the written consent of the female. The female has every right to be angry or upset at any time. The male must remain calm at all times unless the female wants him to be angry and or upset. The female must, under no circumstances, let the male know whether or not she wants him to be angry and or upset. The male must be ready at all times. It says, you want to be happy? Follow the rules. I don't know who wrote that, but I know my granddaughter would sure have a word to say to him. Now, how are we coming? Oh, it's going through. I'm going to take my time to load it up regardless. We won't make that comment again. No, okay. Well, why don't we tell you a little bit? Let me see. One thing about cancer in general. Oh, here we go. We'll leave this till later. It's going to, are you going to have to stay on your knees or sit down and press this by finger? You think so? Well, are we ready to go? Any second. Okay. Good. We got it. We got it. Incidentally, good evening, Al. Right. Okay. All right. The subject is PMS and menopause for starters. Next. Okay. There are some men that say we want an instant solution, and so we have suggested that this, and husbands have suggested this form of instant treatment. And it works rather quickly. They never have to worry about another date. Next. Now, there are thousands of research articles on this subject, and for brevity, many references to the more commonly known factors will not be included. Okay? Now, in 1931, Frank was the first in medical literature to describe PMS, then called premenstrual tension syndrome. Now, PMS is characterized by anxiety, cravings, depression, weight gain from fluid retention, and you'll find out why in a minute or two, about 5 to 7 days prior to the beginning of the period or the menses. Next. Now, the symptoms usually disappear following the beginning of the period, but that's not always the case. PMS is presently classified under four headings. PMSA for anxiety makes sense and is the most common symptom to PMS. This group is strongly associated with excessive estrogen and deficiency of progesterone, which we're going to talk a little bit about off the cuff as we go along. Remember, PMS is the majority of it, therefore, is associated with an increased estrogen level in the lady. Okay? Next. Now, it's this group that have the so-called emotional instability and irritability, concerning which many jokes and cartoons have a source. Now, you can see the claws coming out, and that's when hubby decides that maybe the guys are playing poker tonight, and does something to get away. And next. And there's a, yeah. And he begins to see her in a new light. And okay, next. And the wife and I just talked it over, and I don't find your prices too high after all. She's decided that she wants to be taken out for Mother's Day. And, okay, next. Now, when a woman with PMSA or anxiety type was asked whether she regretted not having a husband, this is what she snapped. I've got a parrot that swears, a stove that smokes, piping that growls, and a cat that stays out all night. Why on earth would I want a husband? Now, if you hear that kind of retort, that's usually a big hint that that woman is dealing with PMS. Okay, later. Okay, then we have type 2, which is PMSC for cravings. And this type is noted for an increased appetite for sweets. They also complain of headaches, fatigue, and heart palpitations. But the big thing there is the increased appetite for sweets and with the headaches. And these are the type that tend to put the weight on rather easily because of the sweets, but also because, as it's not mentioned here, their estrogen levels are way up there, too high also. Now, PMSD for depression, and this type is the least common. But it can be very, very serious. And I remember one lady coming in to me. She was about 40, 46. She worked for the provincial government where there were an awful lot of people there. And she came in, and this lady said, well, I've come in because of, and she could hardly get the word out, and crying because everybody in the entire office knew what her menstrual cycle was. And she had just found that out the day before she made the appointment. And so she was embarrassed and so on. And but everyone knew that because they could just see this normally happy-looking lady, just a cloud coming down and her looking gray with depression, okay? Now, it's associated with low serotonin, said to be due to increased levels of estrogen also, okay? But in fact, it's probably due to inactivation of existing estrogen receptors, and if you can't tie the estrogen up in your body, of course, then because of an absence of receptors, it's going to be floating around in excess amount. Now, what's one of the characteristics of the estrogen? If you have high estrogen, overload, overweight is one of them. Thinning of the hair. Do you know any women whose hairs are thinning once they're past 60 years of age? That's one of them as well. They put weight on easy. Why? Because estrogen, one of its functions is it tells the body, work hard and store food as fat somewhere. I don't care where. Okay? So it does. And unfortunately, then the fat tends to hang on to water. So they have water retention. These are the people who say, well, I don't know why, but my ankles are sure swelling a lot now. And the doctor says my heart's not enlarged when he's taken the x-ray. My liver's okay. I'm not an alcoholic. I don't drink at all. But why should my feet be puffing like this? That's another one of the signs of increased estrogen. Okay, next. And then you have the PMSH for hydration, characterized by weight gain of more than 3 pounds during a period, or from one cycle to the other, rather, abdominal bloating and discomfort, breast tenderness with congestion. You see, that's one of the things that estrogen does as well, is it causes breast tissue glands to swell up and get rather sore as a result. They get inflammation of them. Occasional swelling of the face and hands and ankles, and the excess fluid is secondary to increased aldosterone hormone and may include magnesium deficiency. Okay? So you never knew that magnesium was one of the things that would help you with a hydration form of PMS. Okay? Now, those are the people that really like it. So in review, you've got PMS in four basic types: anxiety, cravings, depression, hydration, and the commonest one is the anxiety. They just can't calm down in terms of their fearfulness, fearing this, fearing that, and so on. Next. Now, an alternative classification that this speaker knows is one that's related to the causes of factors, and I tend to prefer this one because I don't have to remember too much. Okay? Now, these excess estrogen is number one. Number two is progesterone deficiency. If you don't learn anything else about PMS, those two major factors will explain, and you'll get this picture later on. However, hypothyroidism sometimes gives you the same kind of problems as low energy, easy putting on weight, anxiety, fatigue, crazy periods, and so on, sometimes depression. How do you check for your thyroid? And I'm going to tell you now, when the doctor checks you for thyroid, he checks your bloodstream for a couple of special factors. TSH is one of them, thyroid-stimulating hormone. All those tests that the doctor does will tell you how much thyroid hormone you have in your bloodstream, but it does not tell you what that thyroid that you've got or is doing with your cells in your body. We want to know how effectively are your cells handling that the hormone, the thyroid hormone. And here's how you do it. Now, the man that did this, matter of fact, that first wrote it up, he's in his 90s now, and he thinks he's 40. He's kind of like I am. He hasn't quit yet, and that's why he's destroying shoulders, and I broke both of my wrists. When was I here last time, Bob? In March. Yeah, I had them both broken when I was here in March. Now I re-injured one, and yeah, you know, I just don't feel my age. That's the trouble. And running doesn't help. But anyway, someone was telling me I was trying to run away from reality. Boy, oh boy, that hard frozen ground is really something else. All right, now you get yourself to test your thyroid properly, and the man that did it did this on tens of thousands of non-volunteers. They were all American Army personnel, both female and male. He originally started doing it, you get a hold of a mercury thermometer, get them quickly because they're going to digital thermometers almost exclusively because people are trying to tell us that that little wee bit of mercury in the thermometer is going to be too dangerous for you. And as a matter of fact, in Edmonton, can you believe this? They actually emptied an entire 9-story building in the middle of the afternoon because someone spilled or broke a big... Find out about it all on the back table there. But getting back to this thyroid test, this doctor was able to do this because when you're in the armed services, you don't have too much choice when your commanding officer says, the reveille sounds, you stay in bed. And they kind of look and say, what's that? And here comes a man with rubber gloves and a whole fistful of mercury thermometers. Well, he finally decided and found out that by doing both rectally and in the armpit, that there were particular days for women. They are comparative, provided they do it only on the first 2 days of their period. For men, any day along is fine. Any day of his wife's period, okay. And this is what you do. You shake that mercury thermometer down at night, put it on the table because we don't want you shaking it down in the morning because you're utilizing energy, can change your temperature. You put the thermometer in the armpit and you keep it there for 10 minutes by the clock. He was a lot popular when he suddenly came out with this. And you read it for those 2 mornings in a row. Now, I'm still not metrified. I like the 97 because if you're not 97 degrees in the armpit, then you need thyroid medication. Now, my wife, when she sleeps on our big bed, you can see, if you snuck in the middle of the night and turned the light on, you'd see half of the bed would be piled up approximately 16 inches with everything. Even last night, it was stacked up about this high. You don't know whether there's a body under that pile or not, because she's cold, she says. She feels cold in bed. I can't even lie next to her because my skin, I'm sure, would blister. And so we did it, and hers came out 97.1, 97.2. So the next two nights, just for fun, I thought, well, I'm going to check mine and find out what it is. I couldn't get mine above 95.1 when I walked around in the kitchen for 1 hour and a half. Guess who's on desiccated thyroid? I am. Because the desiccated works much better than this synthetic. And there's one of my patients that I see that's nodding, and she's waving there. And there's another one. And I have never had a patient who has been on Synthroid or Eltroxin, which are synthetic thyroid, that switched back to the desiccated thyroid that you get from calves or the porcine type, who will ever go back to the synthetic form again. They just feel so much better. And you cannot get them to change. I've had small women talking to big football type specialists that say, I know this subject matter, and don't tell me what's good. I know what's good for you. And these little women will just look up at them and say, you, sir, have never lived in this little body like I have for the years I have. I know the difference, and it's like night and day, and I will not have you put me in darkness again. And so I'm very unpopular with these specialists, as you might surmise. Okay, so there's how you test your for thyroid, and I'll tell you, the synthetic will not work as well. Okay? And you do it, you change your thyroid level about every 10 days, and you just do your pulse. If your pulse is starting to get up over 80 to 85, then you don't need any more, that's for sure. Okay? You don't want to ever increase your dose if you're up that high. All right, so next, please. Nutritional factors are also a causative factor of PMS, and we'll show you why later. Okay, next. Now, the first approach is PMS treatment. In PMS treatment, that should be an IN there, shouldn't it? Is to rule out hypothyroidism. You don't want to be checking someone for PMS if you haven't check their thyroid, and that's why I told you. It requires a mercury thermometer because the digital type shut off in 10 minutes, and you must keep it there for 10. The test involves using a thermometer in the armpit for 10 minutes before rising. Okay? Someone says, what if I need to go to the washroom? My answer is always... Okay, next. Now, this is best done 2 days in a row, and it's only significant on the first 2 days of your period. A temperature less than 97 degrees Fahrenheit indicates a need for desiccated thyroid. The usual blood tests to indicate thyroid status do not monitor the thyroid hormone effect in the cells. Next. In addition, those having been put on Synthroid, synthetic thyroid, then change to desiccated, report they feel so much improved that they will never go back to the synthetic form. And I know there's at least two ladies here that'll tell you that. Okay? Now, the general PMS dietary recommends involve predominant vegetarian diet, increase soya food intake, which is preferably fermented. Now, the reason for that is that if you are a heavy soya eater, and this is only the latest research that's come out, they're a bit disturbed at the latest research. Heavy soya eaters that are eating it 2-3 times a day, every day of their life, when they get to be over 60, they're noticing that they don't have as many marbles up here as they used to have. Their thinking abilities, everyone begins to notice, slide. And that's the latest research. It's not very exciting. Now, am I saying that soya is bad to eat? No. I'm saying it's bad to make it a major portion of a diet on a very regular basis. You have it every second or third day, you're not going to run into any trouble at all. You eliminate sugar intake. That's always wise from a number of points of view. Sugar induces the body to put on fat and store it somewhere. And also, it freezes your white blood cells for up to 5 hours. And if you have a cancer somewhere and you want those white blood cells to do something, yes. Karen. Oh, okay. All right. That's fine. Okay. So, you want your white blood cells to do all the work they can. You don't want them paralyzed, because if they're paralyzed and you did have cancer cells or any other bacteria giving you problems or so on, yeast, all those cells do is say, good, the enemy has gone to sleep for 5 hours. Let you and I go to Lover's Lane and make more babies. And you don't want that, especially if it's cancer. You avoid caffeine. There's a number of reasons for that, but one of the big ones that everyone has ignored the research that pointed out that caffeine is responsible for depressing the immune system. Although lately they're trying to tell us it's good for your heart. Well, it sure makes it beat faster. And as a matter of fact, it's the commonest cause of erratic or irregular heartbeat at all. We can see ECG changes on a 250-pound football player on his sixth cup, okay, in the day. You reduce your fat intake, again, because fat is, estrogen is fat soluble. And where do we get estrogen from? It's in almost all the chemicals. There's a story that's rather interesting where in Florida they're finding out that they're not having any baby crocodiles. And so they've been catching female crocodiles and opening them up, and even the little young ones, and they're finding that there's no eggs in the ovaries. The ovaries are all shrunk up. So they said, aha, maybe that's why. So someone that wasn't just chauvinistic says, well, why don't we test the male crocodiles? And they found out their testes were very small, and so were their penises. And the Sertoli cells in the testes, which are similar to the cells that produce eggs or follicles in females, the Sertoli cells were gone. And they said, whoa, wait a minute. We have a double whammy here. Why? And so they checked, and they discovered there was a big one of the old people in the area said, well, I know why. And they said, why? Well, they said, years ago, a big chemical company there spilled a whole bunch of stuff in the water. So they went and checked with the chemical company, who admitted, oh, yes, we unfortunately, an awful lot of insecticide did get in the water, all right. But we've checked the water, and the water's perfectly clear. But someone says to them then, why did you check the water? Insecticide is fat soluble. Of course it won't be in the water. So they went down to the bottom with divers, and they picked up crawdads and other little animals that had little bits of fat, and they found the fat levels had hundreds of times elevated estrogen levels. And the chain of food going all the way up to the fish that the crocodiles were eating and so on, they were all loaded as well with this high estrogen. High estrogen does not produce fertility. Okay? Since these chemical estrogens, and there's floods of them out there, by the thousands, we're awash in what they call xenoestrogens. That's chemical estrogens from outside. And they're fat soluble. So don't eat fat, because you're getting an awful lot of estrogens in all animal fat that you're eating. Okay? And then a low salt diet. Okay, next. Well, some women have discovered that PABA, or paraaminobenzoic acid, slows the rate at which they get gray hair. PABA, however, should be low because it has anti-thyroid activity. So if you know someone that's taking a lot of paraaminobenzoic acid because they want to prevent themselves from getting gray hair, then it should be on not too much of it, because it has anti-thyroid possibilities, and they'll start putting weight on if they take a lot of it. Okay? Now, it's rather interesting. Many of you, well, of course, most of you here have never heard me speak before, but I would say about 20 years ago, my wife's hair was as white as your tablecloth. But when she went on a product called Double X, it started to turn silver gray, and I've noticed that even lately, it's starting to get a little darker down here as well. But it was snow white before. And so if you get the right, even gray hair has a nutritional basis in many cases, okay? Now, PMSA anxiety, that was the commonest one, characterized by elevated blood estrogens and low progesterone. Not in the liquid part of the blood, but what they call the chylomicrons, or the little wee small bits of fat that are in the blood, okay? And low progesterone. Next. These patients have been found to consume increased levels of dairy products and refined sugars, which need to be reduced in treatment. Caffeine must also be decreased, and total fat intake should be reduced at least to 30% of calories. Okay? Now, anyone here know another reason why some of us are a little worried about, well, that'll come later. Someone asked me the significance of especially cheese as it relates to cancer, as it relates to cancer in general. And we'll answer your question. Next. For these PMSA cases, remember, that's the ones that the commonest of all the PMS types. Fiber and raw veg should be increased, okay? Studies by Golden et al. In the New England Journal of Medicine, supposed to be the best one in North America, have shown that blood estrogen levels are significantly lower in vegetarian women. And remember, it's high estrogen that induces PMS, okay? Active B6. What's active B6? Most people are getting B6. They're getting it in the form of pyridoxal hydrochloride. Now, that's not the active form in the human body. The active form is pyridoxal 5-phosphate, or P5P for short. And some people don't have the enzymes. A lot of them, once they get over 40 years of age, just don't have the enzymes to convert. But the active form, only up to 300 milligrams a day, will reduce blood estrogen, increases progesterone, which you want, and thus reduces the symptoms of PMS. Now, let me tell you about vitamin B6. If you take more than the 300 milligrams, and never take it by itself, you should always take it with a B complex, such as stress Bs, because all Bs are synergistic. If you know you're really low in B6, if you put your finger beside the crease in your nose here, and it's always greasy. If it's always really greasy, then you say, aha, that's a low B6. Another sign of low B6, dry eyes at night. Another sign is you don't dream in color. Or you can't remember your dreams at all. Sooner or later, if you start increasing the vitamin B6, first of all, you'll recognize, wow, I'm having my dreams in Technicolor. And these colors are getting really vivid. And they will get so vivid, but after a while, so the dreams get a bit vivid, and they can get violent as well. But you have to be on a pretty high dose. But we usually limit you to 300 milligrams a day. And if you're only weigh 110 pounds, we would suggest 200 would be enough, okay? Incidentally, the only the one source you can get is Thorne, T-H-O-R-N-E is the name of the company now, and they get 100% pyridoxal 5-phosphate, the active form, so you can bypass the enzyme deficiency a lot of people have. Vitamin B6 is virtually destroyed by frying your food, okay? So hot fats like potato chips, french fries, or the frying pan. So you can all mail your frying pans to Dr. Taylor, okay? Now, make note, B6 inactivated by eating hot fats, potato chips, french fries, and general anything fried. In the first national symposium on magnesium deficiency, Barbeau and his group noted that that neurotransmitter dopamine, which requires copper, the dopamine depletion results from excess estrogen in PMSA patients. And this is what results in the anxiety. So what I'm saying here is, if your magnesium is low, which it will be if you have excess estrogen, that it will deplete your dopamine in your brain, and you have a biochemical depression. You just don't feel well. Okay? You feel, and you have biochemical anxiety. Okay? So, anyone with PMS requires calcium magnesium. The average person requires at least 3 a day. And if you're constipated, you make it to 4 at least. Okay? It takes about a week, but it will cure constipation, so you won't need all the other doctor's drugs. All right? Next one. And later, magnesium deficiency was found to contribute to the anxiety. Incidentally, magnesium prevents viral entry into cells. And they tell me that in Calgary, there's a few people that have got the flu. If the first sign of flu comes, you should bump up your CalMag. The second thing you should do is take a St. John's wort right away, quick, too. St. John's wort, in the first day of the flu, probably does more antiviral stuff than anything else known. Okay? But you have to know what company you're getting it from. For example, in Edmonton now, we're in the midst of doing a little test. We've done tests so far on 24 companies selling echinacea. We only found echinacea so far in 2 of the 24. I should say we only found echinacea root in 2. That's the only stuff that's effective. Eating the leaf doesn't count, okay? Okay, even if red blood magnesium is found to be normal, the addition of magnesium supplements is still effective in PMS cases. Okay, next. Now, for PMSA cases, remember that's the majority of PMS cases who experience the rage depicted in the cartoons, it's been found that normalizing their copper and zinc levels results in the retraction of those claws we showed a picture of later. Okay? Husbands are really thrilled when their wives are putting on zinc and copper if they have that. I've had the husband sitting in there say, Dr. Taylor, he said, I don't think you've ever heard of my problem before. And then they describe, he said, I've got the nicest lady that I'm married to. But he said, 5 days before her period start, he says, I don't know the woman. And he says, I married a lamb and I come home and I'm greeted by a raging tiger. And he says, it frightens me. What can we do? Would you put her on a tranquilizer, please? So I said, no, we better see her and so on. But anyway, they're quite happy when it's normalized. And you should really, when you take copper, make sure you take zinc as well, because copper does a number of things by itself if it's in too high a dose. But you don't get trouble if you give a zinc and a copper capsule together. Those eating much red meat will be low in zinc. That's another thing. If your PMS lady is eating a lot of steak, or roast beef and lamb and pork and so on, that's going to make the zinc lower, and it's going to result in the putting out of the claws. Okay, those not eating raw nuts can be low in copper. That's one of the big sources of copper is in raw nuts. And if it's almonds, it should be with the skins on. Okay, get less oxidation that way. Next. Now, PMS for craving. Frequently crave the refined carbohydrates. These are the people that open a box of chocolates, and if you don't arrive at the house within 15 minutes, you won't get one. I've had a few patients like that too. And that was the biggest complaint from their husbands. He liked chocolates as well, but for different reasons. Not because he had PMS. Okay, red blood cell magnesium is also found to be low, as is prostaglandin E1. Now, that's an end product to primrose oil, or Gomega, wheat germ, flax, or cold-pressed safflower oil. So that's one of the things that helps. And it helps where the inflammation is and when the patient has tender breasts along with it, with her PMS. Okay? Next. Now, the treatment of PMSC, that's cravings, includes reduction of simple carbohydrates, reduction of salt, low-fat consumption, again, for the reasons we told you, that fat, the estrogen is a fat-soluble product. Am I in the way of when I stay here? Can you still see it? Or do I need to back off here? I don't know how you're really reading on the angle today, aren't you? Yeah, okay. On the bias, okay. They're all knitters. And magnesium reduces insulin secretion resulting from their high glucose level. And you know what happens with these people? Because they eat sugar, they cannot fail to have a little sweet snack after supper. What does a sweet snack do? Well, it gets into your system, and it sends a real demand to your pancreas. Secrete more insulin. We just got a load of carbohydrate. So the insulin says, okay, and it's secreted out. Insulin has an interesting effect. It lasts a long time in the bloodstream. Your growth hormone, human growth hormone, normally is secreted in the first 3 hours of your sleep. And if you have a high insulin level, it depresses the growth hormone. And it's the growth hormone that makes you feel active and improves your metabolism. And so if you've put a damper on the growth hormone, your metabolism is damped, you tend to put more weight on. Those of you that have chubby children, and you don't want them chubby, don't let them have dessert at supper time. Let them have it earlier on. And whatever you do, don't let them have a sugar snack before they go to bed. Okay? Next. Therefore, we see that magnesium deficiency tends to increase these symptoms. And these patients may get perimenstrual migraines. They can almost always be handled by two things, a progesterone cream and drinking the correct amount of water, which was how much? Your weight in pounds divided by 2 equals the ounces of good non-fluoridated water. Fluoride is one of the strongest anti-enzyme factors known other than acid or fire. And your body works on tens of thousands of enzymes. You do not want to be inhibiting your enzymes by doing that. Okay? All right. Next. When magnesium was given on the 15th day of the cycle and ending on the first day of the flow, both intensity and duration is significantly lowered. That's of the headaches. Okay? So magnesium helps the headaches that come along with that particular kind of problem as well, with a craving type. Okay, next. Palpitations in this group are decreased by the avoidance of caffeine and chocolate, and the use of the amino acid taurine, provided taurine is taken irregularly. One of the commonest causes of heart irregularity is coffee consumption. Any doctor that is familiar with the heavy coffee intake people, as we were in our clinic, knows that that's the first thing. We do an ECG and see it jumping all over the place. Take them off of the coffee and, hear the groans and the cries, especially from the men. The women are good, you know. I think the women are, they're really smart. There's not many of us men in here, but it's kind of nice being surrounded by all of these ladies, isn't it? Smile! Boy, you're not romantic. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, taurine is an amino acid, and it was originally discovered in beef heart, and that's why they call it taurine from Taurus the bull. Okay? Now, the big thing here is if you take taurine, you have to take it irregularly. Because if you don't, the body finally says, oh, all you're giving me is another meal of beef heart, and the effect to slow down the erratic heart rate disappears. So you take taurine, how do you take it? Two a day, I've discovered, is the maximum, because some people will get a real pounding and their blood pressure will go up if they take more. You take two a day for 2 days. Then you go off a day. One a day. One the next day. And you can go back to the two for the 2 days after. Or if it hasn't settled down, we take you off for 2 days. But as long as you're taking it irregularly, just about the time the body says, okay, here comes the beef heart again, and it's not going to affect us, then you quit. Oh, it's not there. And then when you get back to it, it works. Now, a lot of people are using taurine regularly, and they're not getting the effects. And you'll read in the journals when they first going to start coming out on this, they'll tell you it's not effective. Okay? Just the same way as they tell you that echinacea is not effective nowadays, but they don't. You read their studies where it says not effective, and they don't tell you whether there was real echinacea in the product or not. They just assume it was there. Can't do it that way. Now, for PMS depression, some patients have chronic lead poisoning, and that's one of the things you have to use. And CalMag, again, is one of the treatments for lead poisoning, not dairy products, which can make lead poisoning worse, okay? Next. You avoid dairy products, make it worse. CalMag, since magnesium blocks the intestinal absorption of lead. And magnesium deficiency predisposes patients to lead toxicity. Now, this was worse in the days when we had a lot of lead paint around, okay? But it's getting a little bit better. Also, they're pulling the lead out of the exhaust. And if that's not doing, they're pulling the silver out of your pockets. And they're really working on that one. And wait till the long weekend comes. I'll bet you the gas prices take a hike then again. Next. Now, depression treatment includes St. John's wort when off other antidepressants. Now, I do a talk on St. John's wort. Because a lot of people have said that St. John's wort does not work. And the people that say that are trying it on severely, terribly depressed patients, some of which have booked for ECT, or electroconvulsive therapy, or the so-called shock treatment. St. John's wort has been used for hundreds of years. It's highly effective for mild or moderate depression. It does not work for severe depression. Notice the studies when they come out, okay? But it works well. And as I mentioned before, St. John's wort is a tremendous thing if you catch a flu and you catch it within the first 24 to 36 hours. You can often nip it in the bud with some St. John's wort. For the treatment of fatigue, the active form of B6, pyridoxal 5-phosphate, why? Why would that work? Because we have in biochemistry an energy cycle called the Krebs cycle. And you have the fats have their biochemical breakdown, and they're all modulated and helped by pyridoxal 5-phosphate, the active form of B6. You have carbohydrates coming down and getting into the energy cycle as well. They're also all helped by the pyridoxal 5-phosphate, or active form of B6. And then all the rest you have are the amino acids. Now, amino acids make up proteins the way letters make up words. Okay? You have all sorts of amino acids making up all sorts of, we have limited number of amino acids making up all sorts of protein. And they also have a way into the energy cycle, but they need the B6 in order to do that. They also need B complex. And they need magnesium. Now, why did I say apple cider vinegar? Because everything, most things getting into the energy cycle have to be acetylated. And besides that, apple cider vinegar is a 2+ immune stimulator, whereas the white vinegar you're using is a 4+ immune inhibitor. That you do not want that setup going on. You want to boost your immune system, and oat bran also acetylates, and everything that's acetylated can now enter the energy cycle. Next. And there it is. Let me just put this down for a second. I'll let you hang on to it. Okay, this is the energy cycle we were talking about. Everything coming from here, there's your proteins through the amino acids, have to be acetylated to get into this energy cycle. You kick off here, you kick off some, my voice is changing, that second childhood, don't worry about it. It kicks off ATP called adenosine triphosphate. Thank God. And that's one end. You get another guanosine triphosphate, which we haven't shown here either. But here's your carbohydrates, glucose and other sugars, pyruvates, acetyl, choline. They've got to be acetylated before you get in here. Oat bran helps that. So does your unpasteurized apple cider vinegar. Here's your fats, fatty acid, glycerol, cholesterol, and it's got to be acetylated until it gets in here. You notice that to have energy here, you also need citrates. That's your lemons particularly, and limes especially, lemons and limes rather. And then you have isocitrates. There's a B3, a magnesium, a manganese. Manganese is very high in nuts, okay? And so that's one. Then you need alpha-ketoglutarates, and that you get primarily in your fish, chicken, beef, lamb, that kind of stuff. And you don't need as much of that. You can get by with one meal of beef a week and you'd still get enough. You need the B complex, you need lipoic acid, and magnesium again, B2, one of the Bs here, malates, which of course are apples and pears, B3, and so on. But once you get these principal sources, fats, carbohydrates, and proteins into here and get going around in here, that's when you start kicking off adenosine triphosphate, which is your energy, okay? Now, next. Recall that B6 activity is reduced in the presence of hot fats. Remember we said that's the worst thing you could take? Boy, I don't want to fall from here, do I? And injure that shoulder. Now, once in the energy cycle, citrix, malates, that's your apples and pears, B-complex, not to mention enzymes are necessary to produce energy as ATP. And that's why you don't want to have a whole bunch of salty stuff, because salt's an anti-enzyme. That's why you gals pickle with it. And you don't want fluoride either, because that's the strongest anti-enzyme going. Now, since enzyme activity is critical, low salt and avoidance of fluoride is essential. Now, PMS for hydration, as noted before, is associated with symptoms of water and salt retention from elevated serum aldosterol. Now, in these people, a low sodium diet is required since the negative charge on the oxygen, remember your chemistry, you got oxygen, you got two negative charges, and you're taking sodium, it ionizes in your body, and it gives you what? Sodium chloride. Sodium has a one positive charge, chloride has a single negative, but water ties up the oxygen in water, H2O breaks down, and you have two negatives for the oxygen, ties up with the sodium, and wherever, if you have a high sodium, it hangs on to more water. Because water, remember, I should have said water, not oxygen. Water is, you got an oxygen here, two hydrogens. Hydrogens have pluses. Oxygen has two negatives. So the negative side of the oxygen will attract or be joined to the positive sodium. And so wherever sodium is, water will follow. So if you swallow a lot of sodium, water will tend to be retained in you because the two of them are binding together. Okay? Therefore, the more sodium in the body, the more water. Now, pyridoxal 5-phosphate, no hot fat, will suppress aldosterone. This will result in an increased urinary flow. So some of you are getting up at night to pass water. You'll notice, you may not have noticed, that if you were having French fries, potato chips, fried anything, that night you have to get up more frequently. Excuse me. Good. No, I think I cleared it. Oh yeah, thanks, love. Ah, good, thanks. This will result in increased urinary flow and therefore decreases fluid retention. MAG tends to do the same. Okay? Animal fats stimulate the growth of intestinal bacteria, which can hydrolyze or add water to conjugated estrogens, making them capable of being reabsorbed again. Just when you thought you were going to get rid of some of it, and you ate a real fatty meal. And the problem with the eating pork is that if you look at pork under the microscope, you'll see a little layer of muscle tissue, then a layer of fat. Another layer of muscle tissue, another layer of fat. You might have two or three layers of fat, but you don't have too many, of muscle tissue rather, but you don't have too many muscle tissue layers without running into another layer of fat. That does not occur in any other animal. And this is why in Sweden, when they were spraying the forest to get rid of a particular plague, they oversprayed with too high a concentration. They killed every reindeer. They killed every goat. They killed every sheep, every horse, every cow, every dog, every cat. You don't think there's a row went up then in Sweden over this? Guess what? Pigs are in the middle of it, and not a single one of them died. The reason why was because when the spray got into their herbicide, got into their bloodstream, of course, muscle is red because it's got lots of little minute little blood vessels, they had easy access for the fat to pull this stuff out of the bloodstream, and it got stored in the fat. As a matter of fact, real heavy ladies who have gone on very strict, severe diets have been poisoned with DDT because they've mobilized the herbicides and insecticides that were fat soluble. They've mobilized them and in losing their fat, and suddenly the levels went up too high in their bloodstream and they died of liver toxicity. Okay? Animal fats. Does it go backwards? Oh, it does. Stimulate growth of intestinal bacteria. Okay. Yeah, all right. We've been there. Thanks. Now, these fats, animal fats, therefore, or these patients, rather, therefore must eat a low-fat diet, and doing so often report a decrease in bloating and breast tenderness. And one of the reasons we told you, too, is that fats were high estrogen. PMS is a result of high estrogen. And we're going to tell you how to cure this in a second. Tenderness in these picturesque portions of the anatomy. You can breast what I'm thinking about. Is also decreased by high complex carbohydrates in contrast to the PMS cases. Okay. Now here's a gal that doesn't look like she's got too many problems with the swelling. Okay. All right. Next, an ace in the hole here to reduce breast tenderness is selenium E. Since selenium and E are synergistic, and it does work. Breast pain, infrequent periods, or a history of ovarian cysts are helped by chaste berry extracts. Okay? That's one of the things that helps a lot of PMS cases. Okay, next. In addition, excess prolactin, one of the most frequent causes of scanty or absent periods, may be remedied by this very same extract, namely chaste berry, but may take 3 months to significantly lower prolactin levels. Okay? Now, what does that represent? That represents bowel spasm. If you've never had it, then it missed you, but if you've ever had it just once, you know what that represents. And it's usually more painful than what looks in the bottom face down there. Next. The cramps associated with PMS are relieved considerably by passion flower and chamomile, which relax smooth muscle, as well as with magnesium, which is also a muscle relaxant. Okay? So, we got rid of the cramps. Don Quay, sometimes with primrose oil, which is in Gomega, has been found effective in treating cramps also. Cramps can be really bad, and I really feel sorry. I've seen some gals with PMS, unbelievable. I had one patient that for over 18 months was taken to the emergency of the hospital by ambulance every single time she had a period. And in those days, I wasn't into what I'm in now. I could have helped that gal. She became a patient of mine afterwards, and I don't know just what happened, but I suggested she do some reading, go to health food stores, do something, because everything's been done for you medically, and anything else we add to you could add other problems, because drugs do have bad side effects. And she found CalMag and passion flower and chamomile, the health food store owner, and she came in with a big grin. Thanks for the tip to going to a health food store. It really paid off. She said, but they thought I was a government inspector at first, so they weren't going to talk to me. But she finally was good enough. I said, well, get them to phone me next time if you have that trouble. Okay, next. We might say here that in general, water retention is decreased with the consumption of licorice. Decreased, okay? Herbologists for years have used black cohosh at 1 milligram twice a day for women suffering from uterine fibroids, which is another thing that can give women rather irregular and extremely heavy periods. You know, when I was at university, there was a missionary man that we knew. What was his name? Dr. Burkett. Really nice guy. Everything that Dr. Burkett did tended to get rid of cancer, but he went out to be a missionary in Africa, and he was the only doctor there for, I think it was over 250,000 people. And so our dean of medicine was, and I won't have to describe him, I'll just say, tended to be, you know what I'm saying? Okay. And so he wanted to show how good he says, he was a surgeon, he said, I want to show you a real big hernia. So they went up there, and the man had a hernia about the size of a football. And it was that was fairly good, and so they did that, and they came out. And I remember Dr. Burkett there. He was a really twinkle in his eye. Well, he said, I'm going to show you some of our hernias later on. So he was in the hernia, and he described this operation. And he said, you know, we have a little different classification than you folks, because that one was said to be large. He said, our classification, we only have three. One is above the knee, one's below the knee, and the third one's dragon. And he showed us pictures of all three on there. And these were the ones he was operating on in Africa. Above the knee, below the knee, and big enough so that they were dragging on the ground. And I'll never forget, this fellow had taken a square piece of hide off an animal, four thongs running up from it, putting it on the hernia. That was his scrotum dragging on the ground. But so it didn't drag and grind off on the ground, he had this leather sack helping it. It was like a parachute upside down, so that it was dragging on the parachute on the leather instead. And that was one of the dragon ones. Okay, and black cohosh at 1 milligram twice a day for women suffering from uterine fibroids. Okay, and they can be big too. We had the one, I've got a picture in my textbook of a lady who had a fibroid weighing 5 pounds heavier than she did after the fibroid was removed. It was over 90 pounds. Okay. Now, in the subject of PMS, we've noticed some common treatments for all types, which should be part of a healthy, common sense lifestyle. increased raw veggie intake for increased dietary fiber. Avoidance of refined sugars, which decrease white cell activity, increase depression. Low animal fat has circulatory advantages. You know, don't get hardening of the arteries as easy. We already noted it would decrease the estrogen overload. Next, low fat, hot fats, as we have no receptor sites for them, and they decrease vitamin B6 action, which is beneficial in PMS cases. Low caffeine for less bone loss. And that's one of the big thing about that. You don't want to get osteoporosis. You know, in one of the nursing homes, actually it's old seniors home, they have a walker for every single patient there, man and woman. And they have over 100 clients in that place. And we know this because I talked to the head nurse, because my stepmother was there for a while, and guess what? She was had a walker as well. And you see, every time, I've often wished that when you flush the toilet, you coffee drinkers, that you could hear the bones rattle as the water went down. Because when you drink that, you pass out calcium from your skeleton into the toilet bowl through the urinary tract. And if you could hear them going clinky, 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 clinky as they were going down, that would give you the message. Now, we had an intermission once in Winnipeg, great big crowd of people, and we just talked about this, and there was a fellow walked by that had a big higher podium, and a fellow walked by had a big steaming cup of coffee, massive size, and he looked at that, and he looked at me, and he said, "It'll be okay, Dr. Taylor, I simply won't go to the bathroom." Okay. If you drink that much, you won't have any choice. Okay. Okay. Lower red meat intake to prevent trace minerals, zinc and copper, from going low. Increase your essential fatty acids, primrose oil or gomega, flax oil, wheat germ, etc. Okay. You don't get them processed. Lower salt intake to prevent edema and anti-enzyme activity. You need enzyme activity for what's good for you. Zinc and vitamin C and B3 also help to prevent tissue edema. So people that have swollen ankles, as long as you know it's not your heart and or high blood pressure, then remember zinc, vitamin C, and niacin. Now, B3 is niacin. Niacin tends to take away depression. Niacinamide, the amide form, can tend to depress the person that's really uptight, but it can further depression if you're already depressed when you take it. So niacin tends to pull you out of a depressive state. But one thing about niacin is interesting, 50 milligrams, almost everybody 10 to 12 minutes later will get a red flush. It feels like a hot sunburn. And when my wife takes it, her knees look like Bozo the Clown, and I cannot help but chuckle. So she chases me around in the house with a dish rag saying, "Don't you laugh at your mother." So anyway, the way we give it now is we give it in niacetol. That's a thorn product, T-H-O-R-N-E. Niacetol is 500 milligrams of niacin with inositol so you don't get the flush. But it really pulls down cholesterol, and the Benjamin Institute in the United States is really excited about niacin, since it's been found to inhibit the development of bone cancer. Okay? Now, avoidance of refined grains, white flour, that white death stuff, and because of low vitamin E and essential fatty acids, and because when you take it down, the body says, "What's this stuff?" I've been designed for things that are that have all everything in it, and you send me this. I've got a hunt now in this body for something so that I can handle this white, well, what is it? It's glue, isn't it? White paste. I don't know how people can stand the taste of it once you get to real fresh brown bread. If you have you know why a lot of people don't like those brown bread makers when they make whole wheat bread? Because they go by the book. And the book says, leave it in and take it out after so many minutes or hours, okay? We found that if we take it out 10, 12, 14 minutes beforehand, the bread comes out just perfect. It's hot and It's really flexible, nice and fresh, and it just melts that butter. And, oh man, been a long time since breakfast, and we did have a bit of fast supper. Thanks, it was delicious too, I might say. In addition to above, we've noted for specific types of PMS, primrose oil or Go-Mega, Dawn Quay, passion flower, and chamomile for decreasing muscle spasm, St. John's Wort for treatment of depression. That we've got an ace in the hole. Are we coming here? Also noted was chasteberry for breast tenderness. Covered as well was the importance of low dairy products, having some licorice. Root, that is, selenium E, apple cider vinegar, and the avoidance of the estrogen pool, which is hard. It's virtually impossible now. Magnesium easily obtained by supplements, since the natural high sources of magnesium and other things are snails and seaweeds. How many eat snails and seaweeds? Not too many. Oh, there's some back there. Escargot, yeah. Okay, next, menopause. Now, I'm going to say one thing. Since this is a high estrogen thing, well, remember that what I'm going to tell you about menopause with high estrogen is going to apply, particularly when we talk about cancer, bone loss, and heart attacks. Okay, menopause. Thousands of research articles on these subjects, and for brevity, many references to the more commonly known facts will not be included. Let's go. Menopause, from the Greek men, meaning mouth. Would you know that? Oh, you mouth. Eh? And then the next is pausus, means cessation. So it means the mouth sensing. Or it almost looks like men should shut their mouth with that terminology, doesn't it? Okay. It occurs on average at age 47. But this speaker has seen it at age 30. I got a patient lives in Edmonton that got it at age 30. And I also delivered a 57-year-old of her first baby, and it was a son. She'd never been pregnant before. They think they have the record in University of Toronto. I got them beat by 2 years. Okay. Although I heard there was one older than that, but she had a cesarean. This was a normal delivery. The average cycle interval is about 28 days. There are many symptoms for some menopausal women, but some of the most serious is osteoporosis, resulting in hip and other fractures. Okay? There's what you see coming up, the dowager's hump and the bowing of the back. Okay? Because they say, well, it hurts. But notice here, okay, thanks, Doug. Notice here what they call the sort of a fish mouth look. And that's the edge of one vertebrae, and this is the edge of another. This one's collapsed right here. And you can see a lot of these little hints of fish mouth where you get the extra bone deposit in the outer ridge of those poor vertebrae. I had one patient that let a scream out of her, and she'd collapsed four of them. Just brrr. She became 3 inches shorter, 3.5 inches shorter in the matter of a few minutes. Or a few seconds, I should say. Next. And there's the progression. Notice this. Age 60 doesn't look too bad, except a wee bit of a hump. Age 65, 5 years later, look at that head leaning forward. And age 75, 10 years after that, they've lost 3.5 inches. And that's without collapsed vertebrae. Well, she's got a couple there. But you can see how they start wedging and collapsing. I don't think there's any need for that. And, of course, the tummy comes out as well. That's one of the things that happens. Okay? Next, many are not aware that 1 out of 5 hip fractures in the elderly is fatal within a few weeks following the accident. We had a man, what was it, 3 years ago, good friend of ours, fell down, broke his hip, and he died 7 days afterwards. Now, this will be covered in some detail later. One of the common complaints of menopause is hot flashes. Treatments are a natural sourced vitamin E with selenium for synergism. Why? Because synthetic vitamin E is made from terpol, the same stuff you make turpentine from. And God didn't design us because he expected us to be requiring paint thinner receptor sites. He didn't think we'd be swallowing that stuff. So, okay. And the other thing is that the natural sourced vitamin E from wheat germ has an estrogen-like formula. And it sometimes is enough there for people that are genuinely low on estrogen. We're going to talk about that in a minute too. The vitamin E molecule, similar to the estrogen molecule, in a number of cases, it alone has prevented flushing. There's two of the researchers. Okay, next. Rice bran oil, gamma oresinol, will also do that. Phytoestrogens from plants such as soya, red clover sprouts, and linseed also help well. And that's from the British Medical Journal. This is all for handling hot flushes. You don't need to take drugs to handle flushes. And as a boost to these estrogen-like products, grapefruit has been found to increase systemic estrogen levels. Now, let me tell you about grapefruit, however. You had better check with your doctor if you're taking any other drugs. There are some drugs you can take. You can take a half a grapefruit in the morning, and bingo, they can arrange the funeral the next day. Now, I just offhand, can you remember any of those drugs? I know, yeah, the ones that you can't take with grapefruit. The immunosuppressants, yeah. So you're trying to save their life by suppressing their immune system because they have a organ transplant. You can kill them by giving them grapefruit. Okay. Active vitamin B6, that's the pyridoxal 5-phosphate, since it's required in the production of estrogen and progesterone. Next, Don Quay. And in some cases they have the primrose oil or the, with the Don Quay. Boron at 4 to 8 milligrams a day, which also helps in the prevention of arthritis, but boron will often help for people that are having hot flushes. Now, C.J. Smith in Chicago states that hisperidin complex at 150 milligrams plus hisperidin methylcalcone at 50 milligrams plus ascorbic acid at 200 milligrams. He's got his own formula, as you can see. All that means is vitamin C, really, and bioflavonoids. The formulation taken at 6 taps. That should be tabs. Boy. And I don't drink. I really don't, I can tell you. Beer is nothing I like the taste of. But it's effective for decreasing flushing, but it also results in smelly sweat, which discolors clothing. So that's an interesting combination. Calamide tends to decrease the above effects. I'm going to tell you what's going to solve the problem later. Just let it go. Next. Depression treatment. Low estrogen will result in low body tryptophan, which in turn leads to low serotonin, which in turn leads to depression. Okay? So that's for low estrogen, and a lot of people having menopause, their estrogen may have plunged. But we're going to tell you something. The cure is not to put them on horse urine or Premarin, all right? Tryptophan is therefore a requirement, as is estrogen, activated estrogen receptor site. Now, where do you get tryptophan from? Turkey, fish, chicken, okay? Depression treatment, low estrogen will result in low body tryptophan, which in turn leads to low serotonin, resulting in depression. Okay, tryptophan is required. These sites are activated by progesterone, applied in a cream form, since digestion inactivates it rapidly. Okay, so taking it by pill doesn't work, and yet you can go to health food stores and get progesterone pills. You're wasting your time. Okay? Now, let me talk a minute about progesterone. Very, very important material. Presently, if a woman goes in at menopause, she says to her doctor, "My periods are scanty, my breasts are a little tender and sore, and I'm just not feeling right." The doctor tends to say to them, "Well, my dear, you're in the menopause now, and all you need is a prescription for some estrogen," and he writes you out a prescription for estrogen. The woman takes the estrogen. What does the estrogen do? First of all, the estrogen says to every cell in the body, okay, get going, get going, get going, get going. And the store up fat, it helps to convert the food you eat into fat stored. So you start put on weight, the breasts continue to get tender, and they complain of a little bit of swelling, and they go on and say, well, doctor, I don't think that's really worked. So the doctor says, okay, we didn't give you enough. So he increases the dose. Is there anyone here who's had their Premarin prescription increased? Okay. Then what happens? They go along, and because one of the jobs for progesterone is to tell things to really grow like mad, it tends to tell the lining of the uterus, grow like mad, estrogen. And the uterus says, oh, we're going to be pregnant? So it takes the message and it starts to build up that. Now the woman's spotting gets worse. And she goes in and says, you know, I'm using more napkins now than I did for quite a while. And so the doctor says at this stage, well, we better give you a D&C and see what's happened. Now what's happened? As a result of the estrogen telling the cells to grow like mad, it comes back some atypical cells. So the doctor says to the patient now, well, you've got some atypical cells here. That's the first sign of a possibility of cancer. You better have a D&C. Anyone here has ever had a D&C, not a D&C, but a... What is it? What do they call it when they take your uterus out? A hysterectomy. Yeah, a few people have had a hysterectomy. Because you had atypical cells. And it was the doctor that gave you the atypical cells by putting you on that particular form of medication in the first place and increasing it. Now that has happened and it's resulted in so many women losing their uteruses. Progesterone, and I'm going to tell you the studies in progesterone. In England, they have taken people that were on, of course now we know, and all modern doctors know, that you cannot give unopposed estrogen because why? Because the incidence of cancer of the uterus and the breast goes up if you're just on Premarin without having something else. So then they give you a synthetic product called Provera. That's the common one. Okay? Now, your body doesn't have receptor sites for Provera. Let me tell you about some studies they've done, and they've been published in the English Research Journal, where they took a large group of women, all of whom were on Premarin and Provera. They all classified themselves as healthy. And they put them on a treadmill. You know what a treadmill is. They can raise the angle, they can raise the speed, and the poor woman is up there walking along. They put them on the treadmill, but they put a heart monitor on, an ECG monitor, and noticed that on virtually all of these women, they had to stop the elevation or the speed because they started to get what we call ST depression on the ECGs. And that says, that's telling us that the coronary artery now is going into spasm, and these women may have a heart attack while they're on the treadmill. So they stop the treadmill, take them off, ease them back, just slow it down, just say, keep walking, but a little slower, take some deep breaths in to get a little more oxygen in, and you're a terrified doctor if you've ever seen them die on the treadmill. So then you take, that's fine. Then they had a flush period. When they took them off of Premarin and Provera, the synthetic, then they put them on a progesterone cream form, since it's absorbed more than 40 times more than a progesterone pill. And how do you use this progesterone cream? Well, you take about as much as it'll fit on a dime. You put it in areas where you can blush. Other areas like the inside of your arm, above your chest. I had a couple of husbands that said, well, why can't why can't she put it on her breast? And I said, that's because you're wanting to put it on, I can see. And so anyway, it might make for interesting life. But anyway, the inside of a leg, but don't do it the same place. And you rub it for 4 minutes. More than 4 minutes, you're wasting your time. The stuff's absorbed according to a curve like that. And beyond 4 minutes, you're wasting your time. Less than 4 minutes, you're wasting the ointment. Okay? And for women that are still having periods, you do it for 10 days, 10 nights or so, just prior to your period coming. For women who are in the menopause already, you can do it every night of the month. Do not use more than one tube. Make sure that normally a healthy woman will produce 20 milligrams a day. When she's pregnant, it'll go up to 400 milligrams a day of progesterone in the last 3 months or so of her pregnancy. Okay? But 20 milligrams a day is normal. So you read the ointment. Some of them have less than 5 milligrams and you're wasting your time. I can tell you who's got the good stuff. You can come to me after, or should I mention it? It's not... Okay. It's Pro-G-Yam by the biggest herb company, and you can get it without a prescription that way, and that's Nature's Sunshine. Okay? And that's how you use it. Less than 4 minutes, wasting the ointment. More than 4 minutes, wasting your time. Okay? And you only use it for 10 days if you're still having periods. Now, having done that with these women, they put them back on the treadmill. Now they were able to run them, elevate the treadmill, increase its speed, and run the ladies to absolute exhaustion, and not a single one of them developed any coronary spasm or ST depression. Okay? Now, here's the other thing. In women who have had biopsies of their breasts, some of them had cancerous nodules. Some of them, the nodule was just scar tissue. You always get a piece of normal breast tissue in with the biopsy. And they discovered that people who were on progesterone cream, that it slowed from the average, because they gave some of them a placebo, it slowed the turnover of the breast cells down to, get this, 1/15th of normal. 15% rather, I'm sorry. 15% of normal. Now, you know that cancer production is a rapid reproduction of cells. And now it just slows them down and says, take it easy, no great rush, and so on.
Please turn the tape over to hear side 4.
One of the things of progesterone cream, when it's natural, that way, it will really decrease your chances of ever getting cancer of the breast. There's a lot of other studies that are interesting. That's really worth knowing. Okay? Now, the other thing, and apparently it prevents heart attacks. This is what this English research said. This is incredible, because there was no spasm to the coronary arteries, even though we ran the women to exhaustion and higher speeds and higher slopes on the treadmill. And of course, the other thing, it increases your bone mass and helps to correct osteoporosis. You can have osteoporosis, it reverses it. Estrogen does not reverse or treat osteoporosis. It slows the rate down at which the osteoporosis occurs, but it does not stop it, and it certainly does not reverse it and never will. But as soon as you put progesterone on there, you discover, hey, wow, this is reversing osteoporosis, it's preventing heart attacks, and it's preventing cancer of the breast. A marvelous, marvelous thing. And here's the other thing. When you're on progesterone, You don't need very much estrogen. Did you know that menopausal women still produce a hefty amount of estrogen? They do. You don't need the estrogen. The doctors are putting women on 10 times as much as they need. Once you're on progesterone, you must cut down the estrogen load because the progesterone stimulates normal estrogen that your body produces, not that a horse produces. Okay? Because believe it or not, you're not a horse, and I don't care whether your husband's called you an old nag or anything. You're still not a horse. Okay. Yes. Beg pardon? Yes, a man can take progesterone as well. Or, I'm sorry, take a ProGM. Because one of the things, progesterone that's in that, and from a vegetable source, it's virtually identical, in the cream, it's virtually identical to what's in the human being. And a man takes it, it's a precursor to testosterone. So it helps a man if he's got libido problems. Although none of us would ever admit to that. Okay. All right. A good question. Bioflavonoids such as found in C plus. Incidentally, progesterone slows things down. And so that's one of the benefits in people that have cancer, because cancer cells are rapidly going to beat the band. But not the synthetic progesterone. You do not have receptor sites for that. And it does some other things. Did you know that your bloodstream might have a very low level, but you've got 20 times as much progesterone in your brain at minimum than you have in your bloodstream? They found that out when you rub it on. It goes way up in the brain. The problem with medicine now is they say progesterone, progesterone, pro is for a gestation, for gestation from the pituitary gland. Ah, yes. It's for the uterus, so it'll be prepared for pregnancy. But apparently it's needed for our marbles up here in our brain because it's very high in there. It's needed for an awful lot of things, but that's going to be another talk, or we'll never get finished tonight. Okay. Bioflavonoids such as found in C+, rose hips, etc., help to prevent the body from breaking down the estrogen still being produced at menopause. If you have C+, for example, or rose hip, anything with bioflavonoids in it, prevents the breakdown of the estrogen that your body is still producing, and it may not be too much once you're in menopause. So you don't want to lose the estrogen you've got, but you won't lose it if you're on the progesterone cream. Next. Tryptophan can be increased by raising your fish and poultry intake. St. John's wort has been found to be very effective treatment of mild to moderate depression. Since caffeine and sucrose are found to cause depression, and that's what a lot of people don't know, sugar and caffeine, that includes chocolates and cocoa and Coke, and coffee, they're found to cause depression. Their avoidance will help relieve it. That should be obvious. Next one. Folic acid deficiency frequently associated with depression, and particularly if all you drink is goat's milk, then you're really deficient in it. For babies, that's one thing to remember. You always have to have folic acid if your baby's on goat milk, because goat milk is very low in folic acid. Folic acid deficiency frequently associated with depression, as is deficiency of B1, B2, B3, B6, B12, and biotin, which means you should give them a good stress B's for part of the treatment for depression. And therefore, B complex is beneficial for this problem. Okay, next. Some minerals too, when deficient, result in depression. Now, maybe you didn't know that, but calcium if it's low, magnesium if it's low, copper if it's low, iron if it's low, people that don't eat red meat at all, they may be a bit low in iron. Lithium, which you get primarily in small seeds, and potassium, which you get in the baked potato with the skins, has 435 milligrams potassium, and which is a pretty good slug by itself. But all those things are required in the treatment of menopause. Allergic disorders are more common among those who are depressed, with an incidence of 16 times more allergy problems than in schizophrenics. How do you like that? Okay, next. Essential fatty acids, particularly found in primrose oil or GoMega, are deficient in depression. So this oil provides some relief. Finally, food sensitivities from chronically eating the same food types is found to be associated with depression. Now, how do you get food sensitivities? I'll give you a quick picture of a husband of a lady whose life I saved with diabetes. But see, her husband is a bulldozer operator. And this man eats 6 eggs for breakfast every morning, 7 days a week, and as of last April, that had been 20 years. With it, he has 12 to 14 slices of fat bacon because that's the way he likes it. Okay? Now, his face is as red as a beet. I thought he was going to die of a stroke or a heart attack a long time ago. But instead, he's got allergic to diesel fuel. But he's macho. He doesn't believe in taking supplements. So what happens when he eats his eggs? They go into the intestine, and the eggs have to have their shoes put on, biochemically speaking, so at least they can walk through the villi and get to the liver. Now, there's a liver pathway for eggs. And the store owner on the pathway, he sees these eggs come in, and he just shakes his head, and he says, I've told you every day for 20 years, you've never given me 4 days rest to replenish my shelves. You'll have to go through and meet the boys undressed. So they go through with just their shoes on, they hit the bloodstream. The bloodstream immediately looks at the egg because you're supposed to have some kind of change in egg yolk before it's floating around in your bloodstream. Bloodstream screams out, we've just been invaded by 6 chickens, make chicken antibodies quick. There were white leghorns yesterday, there are red island roads today. So they have to change their antibodies, so they're making chicken antibodies. Get this, he's making antibodies to the food he's eating. You only have a fixed immune size, relatively speaking, immune factory. And if you're going to use part of it to make antibodies to the food you're eating, you've got a lot less for any disease you've got. So it's very important that you vary your food so that you don't get sensitivities from chronically eating the same food type. That Levine is only one of hundreds of people that have written research on that. Next. Anxiety treatment, here valerian works very well, providing you get it. I had one man that went on 16 varieties of valerian, except the one I told him, and he said the stuff doesn't work. And it was for his son, who has a real problem, he's born with a real problem, and he couldn't believe it when the real one worked so well. When anxiety is associated with tension, the addition of passion flower and chamomile act as relaxants, so does Calmex. Elevated blood lactate levels increase anxiety. So people that drink milk can expect to have more anxiety, and this may be improved by the avoidance of dairy products, caffeine, sugar, and alcohol. Next. Here again, the B vitamins are beneficial, as is CalMag. Interesting to note that glucose infusion, giving you an actual infusion of glucose, can produce panic attacks in certain individuals. Rainey and his group did that in people, and they were really surprised that they could produce a panic attack by simply giving people sugar and water. Okay? Next. For dizziness, the improvement of circulation gives relief, and it's done by increasing the water, lowering salt in saltaholics, utilizing garlic to decrease platelet or clotting cell clumping. I should have had some pictures here for this. Okay? CalMag also helps here, but you should be drinking lots of water, not too much salt. You do need certain salt, because if you don't get enough salt, you can get very, very weak. Some women have gone on, I know one who is a tennis player, and she has been written up, and her husband was a doctor. She was a professional, and suddenly she got too weak to play. And she kept getting weaker and weaker. She ended up in the hospital. And when they did her blood work, they said, my goodness, your wife's sodium levels are way down. What's she been doing? And she looked, Well, for a year and a half, I went on a no-salt diet. No salt at all. Yet here she was playing tennis, hot weather, sweating away to beat the band, losing her salt. All they had to do was, well, as soon as they gave her an intravenous with the normal saline, the woman was back and said, "You've got to start using a little salt in your food." And she did, and that solved her problem. But low, extremely low salt, and you can get severe muscle weakness. Okay? All right, CalMag helped here. I wonder how close we are to the end of this. B-complex will put a stronger negative electrical charge on red blood cells. So you have all these little cells, and B-complex will put a negative charge on the outside of the red blood cells. So what happens with them? A negative charge coming to another cell that's got a negative charge likes repel. So it separates the red blood cells, so you tend to get less clotting, okay? And what we call RULO. And it prevents the red blood cells from sticking together, okay? Known as RULO. Ginkgo biloba, known for years to increase circulation and help prevent dizziness. It also slows the rate at which you age. And I don't mind that. It also helps memory, okay? Next. Most serious complication of menopause, as briefly stated, is osteoporosis, resulting in hip fractures. In some studies, 1 out of 5 with a fractured hip die within the first few weeks following the accident. My wife's sister has just had her surgery about a month ago. Next. By the time an x-ray shows a bone loss, a third of the bone mass is gone. The most effective test for testing osteoporosis progression is the taking of your height. That's the easiest thing to test. You notice that little cartoon that showed them with the dowager's hump and so on. Now, doctors frequently give hormone replacement therapy, estrogen and progesterone, but they give a synthetic for menopausal treatment, and we've covered that already. Next. Common side effect of that is vaginal bleeding. The progesterone Provera is a synthetic product which we have no receptor sites. Estrogen used is most often from pregnant mare's urine. Next. Note here, 52% of premarin hormones are only natural to horses. Okay? And we don't have horse receptor sites in us. High estrogen is responsible for increasing uterine cancer, but this hormone does delay bone loss, and that's all it does. Progesterone, if it's natural, however, reverses bone loss. It does not occur with Provera. You cannot reverse bone loss with Provera, okay, or rebuild it. Bone contains two types of cells in this context. Osteoclasts, they resorb old bone, which has to be resorbed before the new bone is formed. Osteoblasts, which replace bone cells. Adult skeleton is replaced. Everyone thinks it's 7 years, but it's 12 to 14 years. Okay? Much medical literature states this is no help for osteoporotic females over 70 years of age. That is absolutely false. Okay? North America has one of the highest calcium intakes per capita and also one of the highest osteoporosis incidents. Okay? And it's because we're awash in estrogens. They found out that the chemical companies, a lot of their stuff they put out is estrogen-like product. Osteoporosis is not a result of too little calcium intake. It's due to a lack of hydrochloric acid. One thing, if you never have heartburn, you better go on some Thorne's Biogest. At least you'll get, you'll be able to absorb calcium then. And thus poor mineral absorption. If you're low on hydrochloric acid, you can't absorb calcium, magnesium, cobalt, iron, or the active form of B6. Treatment requires glutamic acid, hydrochloride, biogest, etc. Okay? That's one of the reasons for osteoporosis. Next, you're simply not absorbing. Next is the loss of body calcium from drinking caffeine and eating too much protein. Remember the toilet thing. Then next is lack of vitamin D, which results in decreased calcium absorption. This lack of vitamin D occurs as a result of less sunshine exposure. It happens in our country. Always using sunscreen, low dietary egg, butter, and fish eyes. This is very high in vitamin D. Don't imagine too many want to eat fish eyes. I had a fellow I went fishing with. He was from Ole Olofsson. guess where he was from? We caught a bunch of trout. And he says, oh, before you cook them, he says, just a minute. He says, be sure you don't throw the heads away. He popped the eyes out. He says, they're just like grapes. He goes, pop. I haven't tried it. Okay, now look at this. This is the ups and downs of vitamin D. There is the sunshine in the yellow, under the yellow graph. And the other graph below it is the vitamin D. You know, the sunshine has got peaked there between July and August for the exposure to most people and in our country. And then notice that over on the right, it's in December when the vitamin D peaks. But you'll notice that once it peaks in December, that the vitamin D here, which you need for absorption of calcium to fix your bones, look at how it plunges down so that the next month it's way down here from where it was up here. Look, it was right there. Now it's down to here. It goes further lower, and April is your worst month for vitamin D, and it slowly goes up almost on a straight curve from there on in. Now, we don't get enough vitamin D. You need to fill vitamin D receptor sites in your intestinal tract before you can absorb calcium really efficiently. The average adult here needs a minimum of 4 halibut liver oil capsules a day. Don't let anyone tell you that, oh, I've even seen it in some doctor's letters that they say that more than 400 international units of vitamin D is toxic. Nonsense. An 8-pound baby with rickets is given 40,000 units a day. Okay? 1,600 is nothing compared to that. Okay, next. Halibut liver oil caps, good source of vitamin D. Your body makes far more than that in just a few minutes exposure to sunshine in the absence of sunscreen. High thyroid medication increases the action of osteoclasts. Those are things that break the osteoclasts are the cells that actually remove, or they're the result of old bone. Osteoclasts are the ones that get rid of the old bone, leading to more rapid loss of old bone. It's the blast. You know, I can remember that. Blast, birth, bone, BBB, okay? A high aluminum, such as found in pickles and most antiperspirants, is a bad thing for taking your bone loss. Deficiency of both folic acid and active B is necessary as part of the treatment. Let me just show you this, and I'm going to turn up my volume. Here is them bones, all right? Here's homocysteine. You've heard of that stuff resulting in hardening of your arteries, but you can prevent that by taking the active form of B6 and folic acid and a bit of vitamin B12, which you can get under the tongue in drops now, okay? But homocysteine also leads to bone loss. But and cigarettes, or folic acid rather, and here's the bone loss, the calcium just dropping from the skeleton. And here's the folic acid that comes up here and interferes with the homocysteine effect that's causing the calcium to be lost from the skeleton. But guess what? This is a nice effect, exactly what you want from your B-complex. But cigarettes and birth control pills can wipe that out, can wipe out the good effect of folic acid. Here's the B6 that also comes and wipes out the effect of the homocysteine in causing the bone to be lost from the skeleton. Hot fats will put that out. So potato chips, French fries, anything fried, hamburgers and so on will stop this. Where does this homocysteine come from in the first place? From methionine, which is of course from fish and chicken and their diet. But as long as you're eating raw veg, you should be getting these as well, but you should not be involved in too much of this or too much of that, okay? So, active B6 and folic acid block calcium loss from the skeleton, okay? Again, active B6 and folic acid block your calcium loss that we normally have from skeleton. Next, too little progesterone from the conception to birth equals gestation, therefore the word progesterone. And this is the major one here. Next. Progestins, synthetics such as Provera, have bad side effects, and in addition, we do not have receptor sites for them, whereas the sites are present for natural progesterone, for which there are rarely side effects, bad side effects at all. Next. Progesterone is a precursor to aldosterone, cortisone, cortisol, estrone, get this one, testosterone, and others. So it's a precursor. A very excellent product to have. Incidentally, one of the things you'll notice if you're using progesterone cream and have thinning hair is your hair will start to thicken up. The other thing you'll notice that you won't get as much swelling in the ankles and so on. And you'll notice that, my dresses are getting a little looser now. It helps to do that. And the other thing is it's marvelous for preventing wrinkles, and it can fluff out some of the real small wrinkles that are there already. Okay? What's that? Okay. I didn't hear that. What was that? Oh, yeah, let's fluff those out, she says. Okay. Okay, it should be taken as a cream since the digestive process breaks it down before it can aid in bone increase. Next. Ovulation with progesterone in one ovary tends to shut down ovulation in the other. Did you know that? If one's active, it tells the other one, you stay away, since probably the good Lord understood that we don't all want twins. Okay? Progesterone's very high in the placenta, but it's too expensive to extract from this source. Oh yeah, we're coming just about the end of this one. Next. In 1934, a researcher noted he could get it from oil extracted from sarsaparilla beans. But it was soon realized there were too few beans, sarsaparilla beans, in the world for an economic source. Okay, next. Shortly thereafter in Pittsburgh, a more accessible source for natural progesterone was discovered in the Mexican wild yam. Natural progesterone cream does numerous things, and let's list them. Here. First of all, it holds in the uterine lining for pregnancy. So if you have it, and you do get pregnant, you do not tend to miscarry as much. Okay? Sets up the lining for implantation of fertilized egg. Provides for survival and maintenance of the embryo and development of the fetus. Provides for bone mass. And a very interesting property is that it restores libido, if you know what that is. Okay? Next. Libido is Latin for pleasure or desire. Libido in males or females is from testosterone and progesterone, not estrogen, as is frequently given to the female. Recall, progesterone is the precursor to testosterone. Next. And therefore, low progesterone equals low testosterone, equals low libido, and equals a very sad man. Okay? Okay? Next. High progesterone, high testosterone, high libido. Yeah, very happy skeleton is there. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Progesterone helps in fat metabolism, and in doing this raises body temperature. So it means you're going to burn more off. Okay? If you recall the fact that normal progesterone occurs in the last part of the cycle, you can relate to this increased body temperature used for the rhythm methods of birth control. Next. It's also an antidepressant, progesterone is. And it's interesting to note in this regard that brain cells concentrate progesterone, we told you already, to a level 20 times higher than that found in the bloodstream. It's apparently necessary for our thought processes. It's not just necessary for creating babies. Okay? Next. It helps thyroid hormone action, which of course leads to an increase in energy. It's also important in normalizing blood clotting, which we'll discuss next. And I think we better have a break, don't you? Yeah. I think so. Okay. And any fast food? Look at that on the back of that table. For anyone that's interested in that machine we were talking about earlier, that lets you know then you can chat with the folks at the back. Yes. Okay, the question is regarding thyroid and black cohosh. And what was the question? Oh, uterine fibroids? What about them? Did I? Okay, yes. Yes, in some cases, in the old herbology literature, they tell you that it will shrink the fibroid. As a matter of fact, they found something else that does too, and it's selenium. Both black cohosh and selenium were supposed to regress, and that's the herbology reports. Now, just how reliable they are, I don't know. Okay? But I do know that selenium will, in fact, people taking selenium that have a history of rectal polyps or large bowel polyps, taking selenium really slows down the rate at which they will develop those polyps. It's the only thing that they know medically that will do that. Okay? Yes. Oh, definitely, yes. Women that have had if for nothing else to build their, if they've had a hysterectomy, we definitely put them on progesterone if for nothing else to decrease their incidence of heart attacks and also build up their bone mass, and it helps their libido. Okay, yes. How about women that what? I can't hear you. Oh, with a blood clot history. Yeah, that would be, progesterone would be rather important for them, but especially with B complex and the correct amount of water. Because with a blood clot history, there's a number of complex factors, but one of them is you do not want those red blood cells sticking one to another, and both water, but especially changing the electrical charge on the outside of the red blood cells so that they want to repel one another rather than sticking to one another is very necessary.